Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Pretty in Punk, the punk rock podcast. I'm your host, Fiona, your girly girl guide to the world of punk and rock music and everything in between. And today we have kind of a bit of a different episode, something that I really haven't done before on this channel. It's more of like a history-based episode, but we are diving deep into the whole story of Lookout Records from the beginning to the end, the rise and the fall. Now, if you are a fellow punk music enthusiast like myself, you may be pretty familiar with Lookout Records and its history, but if you are not familiar, then I'm here to teach you all about what makes this record label so interesting and how it came to be, the bands that defined it, and unfortunately, what its downfall consisted of. So we're going to be diving deep into all of that today in this episode. But first of all, I do want to say a big thank you to all of you. I received a lot of unexpected, honestly, love on my last episode. My last episode was my top 10 no skip albums. You guys really seemed to like it. I gained a lot of subscribers from that. So hi, if you're new here, hello, thank you so much for subscribing. This applies to YouTube, by the way. When I say subscribers, I'm talking about my YouTube channel. Thank you all so much for the love on that episode. I received so many nice comments and people also talking about their favorite no skip albums. And if you are new here, hello, welcome, thank you. And I hope that you enjoy what we got going on here at Pretty in Punk. Also, real quick, if you guys didn't know, if you're not new here, I do feature a new song of the week each week, whether that be a song that I'm loving recently or a song that kind of like goes along with the theme of this week's episode. And I will be saving it to the end because I am also adding a new segment where I'm doing a question of the week to kind of get you guys also involved in what I'm talking about and we can all talk in the comments together. So I will be saving that until the end. So stay tuned for that, hint, hint, if you are interested. But without further ado, let's get into the rise and the fall of Lookout Records. So Lookout Records was an independent record label founded in Laytonville, California, and later would be based in Berkeley. It focused mainly on punk music. So let's take it back to 1984. So Larry Livermore, who at the time was living in Laytonville, California, he started his own magazine or zine known as Lookout. The name is inspired by a U.S. fire watchtower that was near Larry Livermore's home. And at first in this magazine, he wanted to share his opinions on some local issues that were going on, and apparently this caused some controversy, so he kind of shifted his views on this, and he started to focus more on punk and rock music, something that he had really been interested in since the 1970s. Now, his love of music, writing about it, and listening to it, this led him to start his very own band, which was also named The Lookouts. So clearly the name Lookout, The Lookouts, this was just his brand and the name that he wanted to be known for. And funnily enough, the drummer of The Lookouts was Larry Livermore's 12-year-old neighbor, who is none other than future Green Day drummer Trey Cool. Only at age 12, Livermore had recruited him to be the drummer of The Lookouts. And during this time, this is when he adopted the name Trey Cool. And if you didn't know, the name does combine the word Trey in French, meaning very, with the English word cool, basically meaning that he was very cool. But before adding the cool to the end of it, Trey was actually his nickname because his full name is Frank Edwin Wright III. So it was kind of like a nod to his generational title in his family. So that's just a little fun fact for you on Larry Livermore and Green Day and Trey Cool. So early in 1987, Livermore had decided that it was finally time for The Lookouts to put out a record. And of course, at this time, punk was very, very DIY. So they chose to take the DIY route with releasing their record, and they self-released this record under their brand new record label, Lookout Records. So yet again, the name Lookout is used in one of Livermore's projects. So at this time, Livermore was very, very passionate about this emerging punk scene in the Bay Area of California, especially the bands that were performing at 924 Gilman Street, like Green Day, like Operation Ivy, and so many others. And because of Larry's deep, deep love for this scene and this genre of music, he decided that he wanted to take the bands from Gilman Street and unite them under one record label. He wanted Lookout Records to be that label where he could promote their music, record their music, and really foster this DIY punk environment. Now, eventually, Livermore did join forces with David Hayes, who, no, they are not related, even though they do share the same surname, but they were both huge fans of the East Bay punk scene, and they both wanted to create this independent label where they could promote the top bands in the area. Now, originally, David Hayes wanted to start his own record label known as Sprocket Records, but Livermore was the one who really suggested that they team up, and then Lookout Records was officially born, and they ran the record label out of Larry's rented home in the town of Laytonville, California. Now, to quote Livermore from a blog post that he wrote about Lookout Records, things were growing pretty well in Laytonville. Granted, not having a telephone could be inconvenient, but it also meant that people couldn't be calling me at all hours of the day and night with inane requests and insane demands. Having to travel 10 miles to use a telephone or a couple hundred miles to go to punk rock shows was a nuisance, but it also forced me to think about how much I really needed to make that call or see that show. Now, around this time, one of the most notable releases from this were Hectic by Operation Ivy, and this release quickly sold 1,000 copies. After this Operation Ivy release, this was like a catalyst for a bunch of other bands to start releasing from Lookout Records as well, such as the Screeching Weasels, other bands like Crimp Shrine as well, and this started to really solidify Lookout as a really key element and record label in the Berkeley punk scene. However, two of the really most notable bands were Green Day and Operation Ivy. They really were at the forefront of the scene, and their records that were released under Lookout, I mean, their sales were really surpassing expectations, even though they weren't yet making mainstream media. They were surpassing the expectations of an independent record label, especially for punk music at this time. And these early successes really helped the label to grow and sign more bands, and this also enabled funding for studio sessions and promotional efforts. I mean, Green Day and Operation Ivy, for example, they really built a very strong community, and they even played locally on tour together. At this time, Lookout was really, really starting to grow, and it seemed like it needed some more helping hands on the premises, and eventually a 14-year-old really big punk music fan by the name of Chris Applegren, he became the record label's first ever employee. A lot of his jobs would be packaging records, things of that nature, and he later would become a very prominent figure in the East Bay punk scene, so stay tuned, we will be talking more about him later on. Now, as time went on at Lookout Records, Livermore and Hayes began to kind of grow apart, and the labels started to be divided into Larry's bands and David's bands. Their differences were causing a lot of tension between the record label as a whole, and Hayes had expressed increasing dissatisfaction with the label's direction. Some of the bands, for example Green Day, were receiving a lot of recognition, and the success of the bands under Lookout as well as Lookout as a whole, it started to compromise the punk ethics and values of the record label. Not only that, it was also compromising its reputation for independence. This is really what created the tension between the two founders, Livermore and Hayes, who had very different opinions on the matter. Larry Livermore was really open to the idea that he wanted the bands that he was signing to be as big as possible and reach a large audience, even in the mainstream. And even in his 2015 memoir entitled How to Run a Record Label, but run has an I in parentheses, so it's also How to Ruin a Record Label, the story of Lookout Records, Livermore did recall that Hayes resisted this idea of bands gaining broader popularity, but Livermore actually really wanted them to have mainstream success. David Hayes had felt that the label had become too commercial and it felt like too much of a job. It wasn't feeling fun, and eventually he did decide to leave, and his departure took effect on January 1st, 1990. So even though this would be a difficult change, it actually left Larry Livermore in a really good position because he was now in full and total control of the label just as it was on the brink of major success. Green Day gaining mainstream success, especially, this really caused tension at Lookout Records. And this definitely was a controversial topic because Well, no, they really weren't staying true to their punk ethics and their independent record label. They were being financially stable with the money that they were getting from their record sales. Eventually, after leaving in 1990, Hayes started his very own record label entitled Very Small Records, and he stayed really true to his artistic vision and his punk ethics at this record label. And while he was at Very Small Records, this is really when Lookout Records grew into a multi-million dollar enterprise. For example, by 1995, Lookout Records had achieved $10 million in sales from Green Day Records alone. At this point, however, while trying to manage this multi-million dollar business, working conditions were not that great. They were still running the label out of Larry Livermore's home, and they were crammed in there, four staff members, and it was getting to be way too much. It was definitely time to move into a bigger space, but they also still didn't want to seem like a big, huge record label. It seemed, though, that after the move into a new space, Lookout was then on a slow decline, because eventually, Livermore left the label in 1997. Since then, he had been asked constantly about his explanation for leaving Lookout Records. He actually wrote a piece in 1999 where he made it very clear that the initial fun and excitement of making this record label and producing these albums that he felt at the beginning, it had really gone away and it felt like a burden. After Livermore left Lookout Records, none other than Chris Applegren, the once 14-year-old employee who was packaging records, he had become president. The new vice president was Molly Newman, and Kathy Bauer became general manager. In the first year after Livermore's departure, they did have pretty good luck because Screeching Weasel had at this point re-signed with the label. After that, Lookout Records then had bought Ben Weasel's record label, Panic Button Records, and they even signed the Donnas. They released three of their albums from 1998 to 2001. However, unfortunately, buying this second record label, Panic Button Records, it ended up costing them a lot of money. After that, the Donnas then left them for Atlantic Records in 2002, and this really marked the start of some serious problems for Lookout Records. A lot of other departures eventually followed after that, including The Queers, Pansy Division, and Avail. They were feeling that there really wasn't any sense of direction at Lookout anymore. So then by 2002, after all of these departures, they kind of had to shift their vision, right? So Lookout shifted from the East Bay pop punk scene to a very diverse roster. They started signing bands like Pretty Girls Make Graves, Ted Leo and the Pharmacists, and Bratmobile. And at this point, there was a lot of financial mismanagement, declining sales, and that led to even more struggles. By 2004, the label had closed its Berkeley-based retail store. However, despite these setbacks, Chris Applegren was really, really determined that Lookout would continue. This brings us to 2005, a very significant year for Lookout, and not for a good reason. So in 2005, Green Day dealt with a major blow to Lookout Records by taking back the rights to their music released under the label. Green Day said that unfortunately, Lookout Records had repeatedly broken their contract and they owed Green Day multiple unpaid royalties. Even though Lookout had promised to pay them, they never saw a single cent and Green Day no longer trusted their word. On August 1st, 2005, Green Day joined a lot of other bands, including Avail, Filth, Operation Ivy, Screeching Weasels, and Enemy U, as well as many others, in rescinding the master rights to their Lookout Records material. This decision stemmed from ongoing breaches of contract related to unpaid royalties and allegedly continuously failing to pay the artists under Lookout Records, and a lot of the bands were feeling very unsupported. Even though there was this huge dispute over all of these unpaid royalties, Lookout Records continued to go on at this point. In 2008, that marked its 20th anniversary. By December of 2009, Lookout Records had entered a major financial restructuring period. This forced the label to lay off six of its nine employees. That's almost the whole label. From this point on, it was just a continuous downfall, and ultimately, Lookout Records did close officially in January of 2012. However, they did return any remaining inventory, master recordings, or artwork to the respective bands. From the beginning, Lookout Records did face a very common struggle for a lot of independent and DIY labels. How are they going to stay true to their DIY roots while also trying to make money, right? Because on one hand, you want your bands to succeed under your label and under your guidance, but you also want to hold true to those punk ethics. Although Lookout Records had a very unfortunate decline and a very unfortunate ending, it really did play a very major role in the rise of the West Coast punk scene, and it did leave a huge impact after all these years. I mean, especially with bands like Operation Ivy, like Green Day, they had a lasting impact on the scene. Overall, though, Lookout Records was more than just an independent label. It was a cornerstone of the East Bay punk scene. They faced a lot of financial hardships. Of course, they faced that really big controversy with not paying artists what they were owed. Despite its controversies, Lookout Records, it's pretty iconic, okay? So I think with Lookout Records, a lesson learned can be that you have to take the good with the bad, right? There is definitely a very controversial element to this record label. It had quite the rise and quite the fall, but there was a lot of good that came out of this record label. So everyone, that brings us to the end of this week's episode, The Rise and the Fall of Lookout Records. As promised, I want to end out this episode with my song of the week and my question of the week. So my song of the week, of course, is none other than Knowledge by Operation Ivy. That is by far my favorite Operation Ivy song. I know it's like their most popular song, but it's popular for a reason because I love it. And I love that Green Day also did a cover of it, but I am partial to the Operation Ivy version. So you can find my Song of the Week playlist on Spotify because I'm a Spotify user. I will have it linked below in the YouTube description or in the show notes of whatever streaming platform you are listening on. And as for my question of the week, you can comment on my YouTube video if you are watching this on YouTube or on Spotify. If you're listening on Spotify, there's a comment section on there as well. So I want to know, from Lookout Records, what is your favorite album that was released, song that was released, or band that came out of Lookout Records? It can be any of those. I'm going to keep it broad and we can all talk about our favorite releases from Lookout Records. So that being said, to end out this episode, you can find me on socials and follow along Pretty and Punk, the punk rock podcast at Pretty and Punk Pod. That is on Instagram and TikTok, but TikTok may be getting banned. So you may only be able to follow me on Instagram after this. I really don't know. The TikTok ban is a whole other discussion we can get into. We're not going to get into that right now, but I do have a link tree of all of my social platform links that you can find in the YouTube description or in the show notes of whatever streaming platform you're listening on. So you can click that. You can find all of my socials. You can follow me on there. I post short form clips. I post like graphics that I make sometimes, and sometimes I'll do like polls or Q&As. So follow me on there if you want some more Pretty and Punk. That being said as well, I do post episodes every single Friday on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, whatever you prefer to listen on, Deezer as well, iHeartRadio, I'm on them all. So whatever you prefer to listen on, I am on there. I also post video episodes on YouTube as well. So stay tuned because I will be here every single Friday. Push that notification bell. You can get some notifications for when I upload. And thank you all so much again for following along, for checking out A Small Creator, for sharing with me your favorite music. It's cool to have a community of people that just understand music and are like-minded people. I love that. And that is what Pretty and Punk is all about. To me, this podcast is about fostering a community of like-minded people who all love the same music and love talking about music. So thank you all so much for watching/listening, and I will see you next Friday in the next episode of Pretty in Punk.